The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the program Afternoons with Mike. It is my joy today to meet a young man from the Oviedo area, which would be, for those up in Ocala or Gainesville, that would be east of Orlando, and it is a growing area. I've got Abe Lopez, a young man that is very involved. Man, if I were to read all of the things you've done, I could spend my first segment kind of talking about your job description, but we're going to get to a few of those. But Abe Lopez, welcome to my program.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Mike. It's an honor and a privilege. As we chatted earlier, you're a legend in the airwaves. You know, and the minute I was asked if I would join Afternoons with Mike, I quickly said yes. I actually couldn't believe that I was invited to come on here. So it's truly an honor, a privilege to join you.
Well, thank you. You're very kind, and I appreciate all of those words. Seriously do. And, you know, when I met you, I one of the first things our director of development, who you know, Brittany Parks, is the one who told me about you and arranged for everything to come up. And one of the things that she told me was that you're involved with Alex Clattenburg at Church in the Sun, which we'll be talking about that. But I just so respect that man and the ministry that God's given him. So it's great to have one of the fine folks from Church in the Sun here.
Absolutely. Pastor Alex means the world to myself and my wife and Judy. And I know we'll go into it a little later, but we prayed long and hard when we moved to Central Florida, seeking God's direction for a church where our family can grow in faith, grow in the Word. And Holy Spirit led us to Church in the Sun.
Mm-hmm. Well, he led you well, as well we would expect. And I just, again, have such great respect for that man and the ministry that God's given him. He's just one of the fathers, spiritual fathers in Central Florida, without a doubt.
Absolutely. Look, from what he's done with youth ministries in the 60s and the 70s, mm-hmm. To going out on faith and starting a new church, mm-hmm. That is flourishing and thriving and making a significant impact, not only here in Orlando and in Central Florida, throughout the world. Mm-hmm. The impact Church in the Sun is having, especially in the fields of missions work, whether it's in the Middle East and Asia, Latin America, God has been faithful. And I think it truly is fitting, right? Because Pastor Alex has paid a price. Mm-hmm. Has been faithful to the Word, has been faithful to God, faithful to his ministry and to all that God has given him, despite the ups and downs. So it's just an honor to grow in Church in the Sun. It's an honor to be led and consider truly Pastor Alex as a spiritual father, mm-hmm. as a mentor, as a friend, someone, you know, who despite his busy schedule and despite, you know, the success of the congregation, you know, I can text him and say, Pastor, I have this question or I have this concern, and he'll have me for lunch or a cup of coffee the next day. He is a blessing to our lives, and we're blessed to go to Church in the Sun.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you do, and grateful to God for Alex. You know, when we look at your life, and again, looking at some of the things that you've done, you were a guy who, like Alex, appears to me to have favor and grace in your life. You know, when I talked to Alex several months, about a year ago now, on this radio program, we were talking about how that it's just as if God opened doors for him back in those days. He had this heart and this dream for this Jesus Festival kind of an event, and he'd gone to a different part of the country to see how they're doing it, and basically just had a word of faith to do it. And he started it, and it flourished. Like you said, the word flourish seems to follow Alex. But I'm also seeing that in your life. So tell me a little bit about your background, where you grew up, how you came to know the Lord.
Yeah, Mike, it just warms my heart thinking about my life and where I've been, where I'm at, and where I'm going. You know, grace and favor mm-hmm. definitely covers it and sums it all up. I'm the youngest son of a Pentecostal pastor, born and raised in the city of Jersey City, New Jersey, in a part of town where, let's say it was rough growing up. My father, while highly educated, well-prepared, a master's in divinity, a bachelor's degree in accounting and finance, he chose to forgo riches on earth to serve some of the most vulnerable residents of that city,
mm-hmm.
In areas that saw a lot of violence. Title I school districts, meaning that 100% of the children in these school districts come from low-income homes. And that's the environment in the neighborhoods I was raised up in. We were for a good period of time in my early years brought up on Section 8 housing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar and experienced with coming out of welfare, depending on the government for energy to keep the lights on in a program called Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program. And my father, despite our limited financial means, he sowed a word in me. And he said, son, you've got two great things working for you. While I can't leave a legacy of money and riches for you, it's not going to happen. But you've got two amazing things that are really working for your good. Number one, you're a child of the Most High God. You are a son of the King. And number two, you live in the greatest country of them all, in the United States of America. And he says the only limitations that you have in America are those that you set upon yourself. The only roof that exists that's prohibiting you from reaching the stars is the one that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, despite our circumstances, despite our need currently for low-income housing or for welfare or for whatever the case is, you've got to do better than your mother and I. My mother was a home health aide. She got her GED at the age of 55.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that.
Wow.
55 years old. And I remember when mom came home and said, hey, children, she gathered us. I'm the youngest of five. And she gathered us and she says, kids, I'm going back to school. And we're like, what? And she was like, yeah, I'm going back to school. And we're like, mom, why? You're home health aide. Dad's pastoring at the church and we're doing okay. Why would you do that? She goes, number one, you can't stop growing and learning in life. And I need to example that for you guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm going back and there's no limitations, no excuses. Mind you, my mom and dad, they didn't come to the United States from Puerto Rico, where they're originally from. I'm speaking English. And it was important for them to learn English, to learn the customs and the culture of the United States of America. It was important for her to get an education. So at 55 years of age, she goes, gets her GED. She graduates. We're thinking that's it. Mom says, no, I'm going to college next.
No, come on. That's
awesome. She went to St. Peter's University. At the time, it was St. Peter's College in Jersey City. And she got an associate's degree in public policy.
That's crazy. That's wonderful.
So those are the kind of parents I had the pleasure of being raised by. And we've worked hard. It hasn't been easy. The road hasn't been easy, but we've seen God's hand and God's faithfulness. But look, it's faith in action.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to do his part, but we've got to do our part. And I worked hard. I was the first in my family to own a home.
Is that right?
Yeah, first in my family to own a home. I worked really hard to get a degree. First among my brothers and sisters, youngest of five, to get a bachelor's degree in political science from New Jersey City University. Originally went to school to study music education. My thought was I was going to teach music during the school year and then have summers off to minister at my father's church, kind of an urban ministry,
That's
if you will.
That's not a bad plan.
That was the plan.
Yeah.
That was the plan. And my wife grew tired of the plan, right? 6 years, 7 years into my bachelor's degree. She's like, honey, it's taken too long. This isn't going to work out for us. Mm-hmm. You got to come up with something else. And she said, I checked your master's graduate list and your core list. You've taken so many history courses and political science courses, because I always naturally had some kind of inclination to public policy and the outcomes of folks in our community, how the church can be that light, can be that salt beyond the four walls of the church. And so I took a lot of political science courses. And my wife says, if you just take one more semester, you're done. And I remember talking with my pastor and saying, hey, I'm thinking of switching from music education to political science. And, you know, we were raised Pentecostal and politics was frowned upon in the church, you know, in those days. You know, these politicians, all they do is lie and steal. And coming from Jersey, you know, mm-hmm. where public corruption was so rampant. And we said a prayer before the Lord, and I just moved forward. I felt, you know, let me just get the degree in political science, and maybe I can do an alternate route exam to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. I got my bachelor's degree in political science, but I still had that desire to be a teacher. And I told my wife, I'm going to take this alternate route exam in the local community college. And we said a prayer before the Lord. And we said, God, if it's your will for me to be a mm-hmm. teacher, I am going to pass this exam at first bat. Mind you, the test was $300 at the time. I was paying rent, maybe $700, newlywed, limited income, blue collar worker, working for Continental Airlines Cargo. And so I took that test. You needed a 300 to pass. I waited 1 month to get my letter from the Educational Testing Services. Would you believe what I got on that test?
300.
I got a 299.
Oh, no. Missed it by one.
And the prayer was, Father God, if I don't pass that first bat, I'm going to dive into this politics thing. You are calling me to do it. And would you believe a year from that time, I'm working for Governor Chris Christie in the state of New Jersey, serving as his director of Hispanic and faith-based affairs.
Wow.
Never having dabbled in politics, never worked in partisan politics whatsoever. And we've seen God's hand and we've been able to help so many people truly change lives, you know. I think about it. You know, one day I was on Section 8 housing and welfare, and the next year I am leading and supervising all social services programs targeting the Latino community in the entire state of New Jersey.
Mm.
Talk about coming full circle.
Yeah.
And what God can do when you give him your little. So, yeah. So we have over 10 years of experience in government, serving as director of Hispanic and faith-based affairs, doing a good job there. I was promoted to executive director of the New Jersey Center for Hispanic Policy Research and Development, the state's one-stop shop for entrepreneurship development, empowerment, teaching self-sufficiency in the Latino community. We kind of changed the whole mindset of, you know, taking the word entitlement away and promoting self-sufficiency, mm-hmm. Promoting ending the revolving doors of poverty and financial instabilities in the Latino community in the state of New Jersey. Did a really good job doing that. I was promoted deputy chief of staff to New Jersey's first lieutenant governor in the history of the state, the youngest deputy chief of staff in state government's history, the youngest executive. And mind you, each time I was promoted to a position, I retained the previous titles and the previous budgets and staff and so on. So we did that really well. My wife says, honey, you should run for office. You know, you're serving Governor Christie well. You're serving the lieutenant governor of the state well. And, you know, you've seen what can be done when you have that government power behind you. Could you imagine someone like you running for office? And we did. And we ran for office in a hyper-partisan town. And I was of the minority party in that community. And we prayed and said, God, if it's your will,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be me. And I am going to continue to love you and love people. That's what we've been called to do. Shine a light. And I'm going to do it and tell my story. And I knocked on doors. Would you believe it? We were elected.
Wow.
We were elected. First one in the minority party and elected in that town. And we did great things for people. So we moved to Florida after Chris Christie's term was over. It brought me here and I heard about a phenomenal city called Oviedo, Florida. This was a little over 3 years ago. We put again some signs before the Lord, Father God, if it's your will for me to call Oviedo my home,
mm-hmm.
you know, XYZ is going to happen. And it happened. And here we are. We've hit the ground running. We've connected with a great church. We've connected with great organizations, nonprofit organizations that I'm proud to serve on the board on as a board ambassador. You know, one of those organizations is Helpful Hands. Helpful Hands, we serve families in crisis in East Orlando, in Oviedo, in Bithlo, and we're doing God's work there. Again, serving all kinds of folks, regardless of your background. You know, it's 100% volunteer-run organization. No one gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
No one gets paid. It was founded by a phenomenal woman. Her name is Regina Burriswell. a former councilman in the city of Oviedo, a sister in Christ as well. She felt the calling to bridge a gap that was existing in our community. You know, you have these social safety nets that exist, right? For food, for housing, for healthcare. But who's helping that single mom who has a child that it's a phenomenal singer at church and would like to develop that talent, but he can't afford singing lessons? You know, who's helping that family, that young couple that meets every month in the kitchen table and they just don't have enough to pay for their child's registration for the local city's recreation program? You know, who's doing that? Who's helping that family that has gone through it, man? Talking about a child who is diagnosed with cancer and they just finished their chemotherapy and you want to celebrate that, but you know the family has limited resources. They've been through so much. And so Regina felt in her heart to create an organization that kind of bridged that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And that sowed a seed of hope, a seed of love on behalf of the community, on behalf of the Orlando community, the Oviedo community, kind of providing a tie between the community and these households that are unseen or feel unheard in the community. And we're doing that. So we raise anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 per year, all of the board members and board ambassadors. And we invest, I think, over 99.9% of what we fundraise right back into programs and partners that we have throughout the community in Orlando, in Oviedo, in Seminole County, in Orange County, to do this work.
You know, this thing that you're talking about, this heart that she's had and the way that the church and members in the churches get together and come up with things like this, that's the heart of America. That's always been part of our history. This is the most giving country. And yet we know, and we're going to talk more about this in the next segment, that heritage that we've been given, that, and, you know, I'm a lot older than you. I've lived my entire life watching this, hearing this, seeing the values of this great country be not only shared by all denominations, by all people, but to see it grow and prosper in so many ways. I know we're not perfect.
Yeah.
But boy, are we seeing a day where that's under attack right now?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately we are. You know, I tell my kids, I tell my wife, as a matter of fact, we don't have cable in my house. We've gotten rid of it. You know, we subscribe to some apps that we have. We have TBN app on our cell phone. Mm-hmm. We have quite a few apps that provide us with quality family-friendly entertainment in our household. The only time I truly plug in and watch the television, if there's a State of the State address or some kind of presidential debate or whatnot, but I try to find a scholarly sources for my information and my news. But man, if you were just basing your opinion off of what you're seeing on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
what you're seeing on Twitter and YouTube and Instagram,
or any of the networks, the major networks,
yeah. Absolutely. You think we're the worst country in the face of the earth?
Well, that's what we're being taught that we are, and you know, it's a grand effort, and they've got a lot of voices saying that very thing. But we've got to stand up and say, no, this is not us. This, as my relatives would say, that ain't us.
That ain't us.
That ain't us. That's not who we were raised to be. That's not what we believe in our heart. That's not what we've done. And we've just got to stay strong on that. And we're going to be talking more about that with Abe Lopez. Abe is a young man I believe that we're going to be hearing his name more of in the future. I'm excited about that. Glad that he's here with us today. And we'll be back with Abe in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing. In the studio with me is Abe Lopez, a young man from Oviedo that is on fire, not only for God, but he's on fire to see his life and to see our lives make a difference and to hold on to the values. That's what we were talking about at the kind of the end of segment one, is it's a different country right now. If we listen to the news, if you do, and boy, I tell you what, we've done the same thing. We've unplugged, and it's been a long time since I listened to the voices that are in the national news scene. They're all like reading from the same script, and it's very easy to see that. And I do believe there's an old saying that I grew up with, and it goes like this, Abe: be careful, little ears, what you hear.
Yeah.
And I think that is an important word for especially this generation. We've got to be careful for what we hear and what we put our minds on.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Look, I'm a father of three, and I am very, very careful with what they're listening, what they're consuming. You know, we just don't form habits. Habits form us. And when you're hearing that constant toxicity, that, you know, there's, I really believe there's truly a fight for the heart and soul of America. There's a fight for the heart and soul of our communities. While many folks, their attentions are rightfully placed in Washington, D.C. and Congress and the White House, we can't forget our city halls.
Mm-hmm.
We can't forget our county governments, and we can't forget our boards of education. It's so important. A majority of the decisions that are going to affect your quality of life are done not at Washington, in Washington. They're done at the local levels.
That's right.
And I think a lot of folks are waking up to that with what we've seen the last couple of years, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, the news media really downplays anything but the federal level. And you're so right. Where we live, the government in our communities, be it Oviedo, be it Castleberry, be it Altamont Springs, whatever, wherever, those are important homes for policy and the impact that happens in those council meetings and those committee meetings really makes a big difference in our lives.
Absolutely. And look, you know, here in the state of Florida, municipal elections are nonpartisan in nature, right? And I love that. I told you I was in elected office in Jersey, and I ran as a member of a minority party, and I fought to make our local elections nonpartisan in the state of New Jersey. And here, what I'm seeing, you know, in the city of Oviedo and other communities is this hyper-partisan spirit that's trying to dominate the public discourse.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you've got to think my way and they introduce a name, you know, you're full of hate, or you're bigoted, or you're racist.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's this radicalization of our political and public discourse. And I think folks have had enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear constantly the silent majority, you know, you kind of almost fool yourself when you read the comments on Facebook or Twitter. You see these keyboard warriors, you know, with profile pictures that are of animals, and, you know, you don't know if they're bots or they're humans or whatever the case is, but, you know, you feel like you're in the minority, and you're not. We're not. And it's good to see neighbors, fellow Americans, standing up and standing up for truth, not mm-hmm. your truth,
mm-hmm.
not my truth, but for truth.
You know, that's an important distinction, because all truth, Jesus is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. And that's one of the main, if we wanted to put a finger on one of the big problems in our country, it's because we've abandoned the source of truth as a country. I mean, many in our country right now, and it's really amazing. I've stopped saying I would never have thought that would have happened, because I try to say that.
Yeah.
And every time I think that it can't get any worse, then I remember, well, I just watched something that I would not have believed would have happened. And it's happening right now. But even with all of this, you know, I go back, you mentioned you attended Liberty University.
I did.
And I remember out of the ministry of Jerry Falwell came mm-hmm. this moral majority.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people call that majority the silent majority. Sure. And you know what? A sad but true statement has been it has been silent for too long. And it feels like this big movement, the progressive left, has just overnight taken over. But they haven't. They've been working for decades. But now it's like we open our eyes, we open our ears, we think, whoa, this is huge. It's, the, you know, what is it? It's time for that moral majority of people to say, no, we're not going to continue to be silent.
You're absolutely right. Look, there's still hope for us left. There's still hope for us yet. And we're seeing Americans at the local level wake up. We're seeing parents, that mom who's homeschooled five kids, or that mom who's a soccer mom and has her kids at the local public schools and is concerned about the way the government and the local school boards handled the pandemic, stand up and say, I'm running for school board. You're seeing folks run for town council and for county commission and so on. Look, the church has for a very long time been praying for Joseph's to rise and for Moses's to rise and for Daniel's to rise. The time is now.
Yeah.
The time is now.
I've got to introduce you to Dave Zanotti, because this is a guy that I think you would love to meet. He is the host of the Public Square here on the Shepherd, and he's a national guy. Dave, if you're listening, you got to meet this guy. I think you would really enjoy this. Dave says the same thing regularly when he's with me on the air here, is that what is going to have to happen, it's going to take young people like yourself wake up and realize that I've got a battle that's, it's not like we have a choice. We're going to have to fight this battle if we're going to keep our liberties.
Exactly right. And look, my view is this, right? We can't, as the church, as people of God, as a folk that has been called to be a city on the hill, we've been called to be world changers. We've been called to be the head, not the tail. Mm-hmm. It's our job to provide flavor to this world. And what we see is the result. The consequences of a church that has enclosed itself to four walls. I mean, yeah, we've got amazing programs in our church. Yeah, the building is amazing. The light show is amazing. The worship team sounds spectacular. But we've gone too comfortable within our four walls. And what we're seeing in society is what happens when we're no longer providing flavor to the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time where there was an influence of the church in all aspects of society and culture. And we were called again to place our lights on the highest stands and not to cover it, right? We need a light, dark places. We were called to be salt, and salt, what it does, it preserves and provides provides flavors.
Yeah.
So it's a wake up call for the church. I think we're finally answering that call.
Now, you know, you told me before we began our program today, you told me that you kind of grew up on your father's lap.
Yeah.
And he was in radio from a basement on the air. And, you know, obviously this has brought in your life a foundation. You have a foundation from which that you can look back at your life and realize that the word of God goes beyond what you just described as the four walls of the church.
Yeah.
The word of God is to go out into the marketplace, into the city. And we are to be this light set on a hill that others can see from afar off. And that's really the clarion call that you're describing right now, is that we've got to live our lives as holders of light.
You're absolutely right. And I think the one thing that's holding the church back, the one thing that's holding that next generation back, is fear.
Okay.
And you see it in the news. You see it in the news. There is so much fear being sowed into the hearts and minds of not just the men and women in this country, the men and women in Central Florida, but into our children now, right? Constant fear. And we need to be reminded and encouraged that he has not given us a spirit of fear. Spirit isn't of God. Mm-hmm. It's not. And so I don't know who needs to be reminded of that today. Mm-hmm. You know, rebuke that spirit of fear. It's not of God. It doesn't come from a godly place. And you've been given gifts, and the time to unbury your talents is now.
Now, you're not fighting this fight just for you and for your age and your wife, Brenda. You're fighting this fight for your children and their children.
Yeah.
And that's what we all have to see. And that's what I like about you, Abe, is that you're a guy that's busy. Maybe some people would say, I don't know how you're doing it. How do you do it? What's your routine when you start off each day? What are you asking God for?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Look, first and foremost, we start off our days at home with family devotion. We try, at least if we can't do a family, everyone does their own individual devotion. I gotta be rooted in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, man, you'll buy into the hype that's being spread out there. You know, I neither here nor there, but we're running for office in the city of Oviedo. And man, if I read the comments and I were to believe in the reports of the enemy, right? Not the folks who are writing, but that negative force, right? That's behind the attacks, right? I believe that report.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's so important these days for folks to be rooted in the Word. And man, it has to influence your complete agenda. It has to influence your day. So I constantly find myself reminding myself of my identity in Christ, of who I am in Christ. You know, Abe Lopez, you know, I'm a weak man. You know, I am a Christian under construction. God is not done with me yet. Sometimes I have to put some warning barricades, some construction signs to let folks know that, you know, the Lord is still working in me in certain areas in my life, man. But I have to constantly and consistently remind myself of my identity in Christ. I am more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lord has, my father says, hey, you know, Abraham, I gave you that name for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you that name for a reason. And he believes and he has always constantly poured into my heart. And I do the same with my children.
Yeah. I like the name and the fact that you were given that name. When I think of what you were talking about earlier, we've gotten too comfortable.
Yeah.
Abraham could have with his father in that journey when they left their landing in Haran, and they could have stayed there. It would have been comfortable. And in fact, Abraham's father liked it. But you know what? That's not where we're called. We're not called to comfort.
Yeah.
We're called to move on to the place that God's called us to go to.
You know, and that's kind of been my story the last 3 years. Born and raised in Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, the son of a prominent minister who worked his way up to the governor's office, the highest levels of the government in the state, elected as a councilman and served as a deputy mayor. I mean, many of folks said, Abe, you've got a future as a governor, a lieutenant governor, secretary of state of something in state government. And I leave that all to come to Florida.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you did. And that doesn't mean that none of that any of those things won't happen. It just means that it might not happen in Jersey. It might happen here with us. And we're all kind of partial here to Florida. Those of us that live here are kind of glad we're here. I love it. And I'm grateful to God for it. You know, going back to this whole thing of your father and the heritage, that's just such a wonderful gift that he's given you. Yeah. And to see that now you're taking what you saw. And I think of that old phrase, more is caught than is taught.
Yeah.
And you've caught so much from your dad and the heart that's behind him here. And so is he still with us?
My father's still with us. He's still preaching the gospel. He's still teaching. My father serves as a chaplain. He oversees the state of New Jersey's chaplaincy program for the entire state.
My goodness.
And he is changing hearts and changing lives and literally saving lives and souls in the state of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just as active today. He's the president and founder of the Children of Faith Parade, the Christian Children's Parade of the state of New Jersey. And they've been celebrating. Wow. They're going on over 30 years of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a day of uniting Christian children from throughout the state and allow the children an opportunity to preach the gospel in the streets, to perform dances and raps and singing songs and so on. And I remember as a child participating in that parade. Nowadays, we fly back to Jersey with my kids to participate in that parade. So he's truly my inspiration. My mother as well, behind every outstanding man of God, is a strong woman of faith. I have a praying mother.
Mm-hmm.
A praying mother. She is a woman of God. She is just as active today. If anything, I believe my parents are more active today than they were when I was a kid.
And that's a great message to their peers.
Yeah.
It's not too late for anybody to make a difference, right?
Absolutely. It's never too late to make a difference. It's never too late to go back to school like my mom did at the age of 55.
Yeah.
It's not too late to serve. And we don't need much to serve.
You know, I want you to, we've got just enough time in this segment before we take a break. This thing of fear that you mentioned earlier, we are all seeing that one of the vestiges of COVID has left, especially young people, with a deep sense of fear and almost paralyzing fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know COVID is was a terrible thing. There's some of my friends are fighting it in the hospital right now. I had it myself last December. It's not fun, but I believe that as bad and all of the things about it that is real, there's been a side of it that has been weaponized and turned this thing into a massive source of fear for us as to whether or not our country is going to go on in a sense of living again. And I'd love for you to speak, if you could, in a few moments to your peers about that.
Yeah, look, COVID is real. It's affected many. But the science is the science, and the science has been clear. And I would encourage folks to do their research and do not allow yourselves to be consumed by fear.
Mm-hmm.
Do not allow yourself to be consumed by misinformation. And look, you've got to take the precautions you deem necessary for your health condition, for your health situation in your household. I encourage everyone to do that, regardless of what that may be or what that might look like. But, you know, we have great news in that there's many treatments for COVID right now.
Yeah.
We're not where we were in March of 2020. Those who want to take a vaccine, there's a vaccine there if you're comfortable doing that. There are those that have come up with or are well-versed in natural ways to fight this as well. And so we want to encourage folks to become well-versed, just as we're all well-versed in the doom and gloom of COVID. Let's become just as well versed in the science of COVID, and that there is hope for you. There is treatments for you, and we should not allow fear to dictate policy, neither in the public sphere nor in our churches.
And I think that one of the things we're all having to wake up to see is that you mentioned the science, that, you know, this, what we're hearing about it is not always coming from the science. It's coming from an opinion that science would actually take a different view than what the opinions are coming from so-called experts. I think we just got to be careful again from whom that we hear these supposedly expert sayings. It's not always what it appears.
Mike, look, having been in elected office, having been in appointed office, I'll tell you this, right? There are public servants and there are politicians, and there's a difference. Public servants are servant leaders, and politicians, they like power. And once you give them power, it's hard to get it back. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks are exploiting the COVID pandemic for power.
I agree. And with that, we're at the end of our time here on this segment. We're going to be back one more time with Abe Lopez, and he is from Oviedo. We're going to be talking about the role that he plays in his church and also what he is working toward there in Oviedo. When we return, this is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. Back again in the studio with Abe Lopez one more time. Abe is from the Oviedo area, and he is a teacher. You've done a lot of things in your life. You've been in politics from Joyzy, as they would say.
Born and raised in Joyzy.
You've got it going on. I love that. And his dad in ministry, raised in a Pentecostal church, and still believing to see the power of God working in your life and
Amen.
Through your life. And all of that. You mentioned that you are part of Alex Clattenburg's church, Church in the Sun. And tell us what you do there. You're a teacher.
Yeah. So my wife and I, we minister to children at Church in the Sun. We teach Sunday school, and we're very active in the children's ministry. And we also mentor youth in the youth ministry. Our youth ministry is called The Mix. The Mix meets every Wednesday at 7 p.m. till about 8:30 p.m. And we pour into youth. It's important to us to sow a seed, knowing the importance of the seed that we sow into the hearts and minds of our children and our youth. Look, someone sowed a seed in me. In addition to my mom and dad, who kind of tilled the ground for folks to minister and pour into my life. And while I was a pastor's kid, mm-hmm. and I was in the church all of my life, it's fair to say, like many PKs, church wasn't necessarily in me. I needed to have my own encounter, my own road to Damascus.
Right.
And I did at the age of 18. I was never a bad kid per se, but I just kind of checked boxes for mom and dad and for folks at church. And I wanted to be a good example. I was a pastor's kid. And I had my own encounter with the Lord. Look, it's not easy being a pastor's kid. It's not easy seeing dad serve the world and you go back home to an empty fridge at times, right? When we just finish raising a love offering to bless Sister Mary's household and we just purchased some groceries for, mm-hmm. for Brother Paul's household and you go back home and dinner's not looking too good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would do a number or two on a child. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit has done an amazing job and I have now a deeper understanding and appreciation of what it is to live for Christ, or shall I say die for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we're active. We pour into kids. Every other Sunday I'm at the classroom for anywhere for about 2 to 2.5 hours, loving on children. I'd say my favorite age group right now is preschool. So I'm working with kids ages 3 to 5. And my wife is right there by my side. And at the mix, we have kids at Church in the Sun that come to church with no mom, no dad. We have kids that are in the system. We have kids that are in foster programs and they come not because they're being forced by anyone. They come because they're finding community. They're finding family and they're finding, most importantly, Christ and God and the message of the cross, that Jesus died for them. And that he loves them and he has a purpose for them if they'd only let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great to be a part of that life-changing team at Church in the Sun.
It's really wonderful to hear that there's a place calling out to these youth. And, you know, one of the truths about this day and age is that one of the biggest deterrents that the young people of today that would be attending church groups like yours is the fact that they carry around with them a phone, a screen. They're in screen time all the time.
Yeah.
And this is one of the biggest windows to the world and to the wrong way of thinking and experiences that could ever be brought in as an influence in their life. And that's what do you tell people? What do you tell your own youth as a safeguard to tell them to, hey, wake up and watch out and don't give your soul to that?
Look, it goes to me what has worked in my life. You know, I've learned in life that whenever I go about it on my own, I fail. I fail. And when I seek him first,
mm-hmm.
and his kingdom, truly, all things work out for my good. And so I try to advise them and to warn them of the mistakes I've made in life and how I usually just end up clinging to the cross and begging for mercy and for help and God's favor and grace and assistance in coming out of the situation that I'm going through. So I'm just trying to save them a whole lot of time and a lot of heartache and some tears.
And they can get out of the screen time and see life and encounter life that God has given us. It would do them such good.
Well, look, when it comes to the cell phones and the video games and television and so on, you know, you think of all of the constructive things you can be doing to develop your walk in Christ, to develop your career, to develop a talent that you have. You know, this is a conversation, as a matter of fact, I was having with my son yesterday. My son, you know, I told you he's 14. He's going to Hagerty High School in Oviedo. He's joined the basketball team. He's on an AAU team as well. And he's at that state of mind where, you know, I'm going to be in the NBA, Dad.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm talented and I'm going to make it. Well, son, you haven't practiced all week. You know, Dad, but I'm good. You know, I've got all these skills and I'm so talented. I'm the best. And I think one of the words the kids are saying, goated or goated, the greatest of all time.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's a phrase that he uses. I'm the goated, Dad. You know, I go there and I do my thing. Son, it takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
It takes skill on top of talent. And so, you know, you think about it. And I tell him, do you know how much time you could have dedicated to practicing, improving that three-pointer, improving that defensive move, improving that offensive move? that you've given to television this week or you've given to your cell phone this week. So I'd encourage the youth at our church and any youth that I encounter, look, you know, this life is worth living, and the outcomes that you're going to receive in life are truly contingent upon the work that you put in and God's grace and favor, ultimately.
That's wonderful. Well, I tell you, it is worth it. And, you know, you're living your life in such a way that I know you're believing, you're living as if you believe something and it's affecting the way you live.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big difference. You know, I'm writing an article right now for this weekend's article that I put out on Sundays at a digital newspaper on the difference in what we declare and as to be true in our lives, but what is functionally true in our lives. There's a huge gap. There can be a huge gap in what we say we believe and how we actually live our life on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. Look, I think Casting Crowns, one of my favorite worship bands, they said that our life should be a song to the Lord. And, you know, I think it was it St. Augustine who said, right? You know, preach and preach often, and if necessary, use words.
Right?
So you want your life to reflect what you claim to believe. Mm-hmm. Many of us are out here claiming to be the followers of Christ and to be Christians. And while we go to church and while we tithe and while we volunteer, you know, at times we might find that our lives are not reflecting the life of someone that has encountered the cross, mm-hmm. someone that has had a transformational encounter with the Christ of the cross. So, you know, it behooves us all, myself, my family, and your listeners, you know, to make sure that we are not just talking the talk,
mm-hmm.
that we're walking the walk. And you don't have to be perfect. This isn't about being perfect. This is about just giving God your little and letting him do what he does with your little, which is great and astonishing things.
It's so good for us all to remember that we're called to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only.
Yeah.
And that is something that will make a difference in our lives if we do. You're doing a lot now. I know that you are here now. You've been for about 3 years in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're involved in a campaign once again for public service. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, look, so I moved here 3 years ago after Governor Christie's administration. The policies of the New Jersey government following his administration were really a tough pill to swallow. And my wife and I, we prayed long and hard, and we just felt an urge and a calling to come to Central Florida. Florida, to me, represents freedom. Florida, to me, represents the love of God, the love of country, a service to your neighbors. It's a great place to live, to work, and to grow a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am seeing some things locally in Oviedo that have got me concerned. That hyper partisanship is trying to infiltrate our local government. Some of the policies that we're seeing, or some of the ideas that the incumbent mayor is proposing, would truly pin neighbor against neighbor, and most importantly, I believe, threaten the First Amendment right for Christians to practice their faith, not only Christians, any person of faith, to practice their faith freely in the city of Oviedo. And look, where there's an injustice, I can't just look beyond and look sideways. I feel called for times such as this to run and hopefully be elected as Oviedo's next mayor on November 2nd.
Wow. So you're right in the throw of it. That is coming up this November, right?
Yes. This November 2nd, we're running for mayor. And when I say we, it's myself, it's my wife, it's my children, it's you know, our whole family. We're all in to move Oviedo forward and to keep Oviedo, Oviedo. Remember, I told you I left Jersey.
Right.
All right. I want to keep Oviedo, Oviedo. I don't want anyone to New York my Oviedo or to New Jersey our Oviedo. Florida is a great place to live. And we hope that all the many like me who are fleeing states like New Jersey, New York, California, cities like Chicago, and they're calling Florida and particularly Central Florida home. We welcome them with open arms. welcome to the Sunshine State, but please leave home those policies.
That's exactly
leave those policies.
I could not agree more. Don't bring your progressive thoughts here. Yeah, because we love the freedom that we have been given and that we're walking in. And it's really an important time. And, you know, when I think about a young man like yourself that is putting it out there, you're putting your own life out there.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No,
it's not easy. It takes a lot of courage and it takes a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And you're willing to do that, and Abe, and I want to say thank you for being willing. How can people find out more about what you're doing?
Well, Mike, thank you for having me on the air, and thank you for what truly has been an inspiring conversation, man. I'm leaving here pumped and motivated, man. I think what the Lord has done in my life is worth talking about, pointing folks to the cross and pointing to Him from whom all good things flow. Folks can learn more about me at abeformayor.com. That's abeformayor.com. You can give me a call on my cell number, 407-777-0329. Follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, at Abe Lopez FL.
You know, are you finding yourself, have you been ever silenced by any of the big tech?
You know, thank God I have not been silenced. Maybe on a post or two, I'll get, you know, some kind of a caption that pops up that says, warning, you know, the fact checkers say that this isn't true. You know, these fact checkers, man. but no, look, so far we've been good. We've been good on my channels.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And you can find out more about Abe and what he is doing by going to that website that he's just given you. And brother, it's been a real joy to have you on the program here today. Thank you for dropping by.
Thank you, Mike. God bless.
And be sure and say hello to our friends over at Church in the Sun.
Absolutely, I will do.
That'd be great. And friends, thank you for being with us as well today. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.